We're talking about the coronavirus economy here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Trump announced a package of coronavirus relief measures over the weekend in response to a deadlocked Congress. Meanwhile, the National Governors Association has been expressing doubt in a statement Monday about carrying out a new $400 unemployment supplement. Wisconsin is still working to clear a backlog of unemployment claims that may not be resolved until later in the fall. What concerns you most about the economy? What was your reaction to President Trump's executive orders? We're at 800-642-1234. Heather Long is an economic correspondent for The Washington Post. Heather, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It's great to be here.
Well, let's start with these executive orders over the weekend. Tell us what these orders are attempting to do.
President Trump obviously was frustrated with the inability of Congress to come to any sort of deal right now. And so he said, look, I'm going to take action on my own. And what he did four different, he called them executive orders. Actually, only one is an executive order. The other three are memorandums, which are slightly, you know, a little bit more dialed down. The thing that he really gave relief, legitimate relief on, is student debt. So for people who owe student loan payments, they do not have to make those through the end of the year. And he actually canceled the interest through the end of the year on those payments. So that's a legitimate savings, you know, of several hundred dollars for a lot of people a month. The other things he did, he claimed that he stopped evictions. You know, we've seen these horrible pictures of people's stuff being thrown out on the curb in the middle of a pandemic. So he said that he has stopped that. He reiterated that again yesterday. In reality, if you read the executive order he did on housing, he just asks the Housing and Urban Development Secretary and some of his other secretaries to, quote, consider whether we should ban evictions. So he does not actually ban evictions. Evictions can still continue based on what he did this weekend. The last thing that he did, the last two things that you were just talking about, unemployment. So on unemployment, he said, oh, look, you know, I'm going to extend that federal money, that extra bonus or enhancement, as some people call it. It was at $600 through the end of July. And he said, I'm going to extend it through by $400. This one has gotten a ton of blowback. You know, is it legal for a president to distribute money? That power is supposed to rest with Congress. So there's legal questions around that. And the bigger question that you've seen from a number of these governors who've pushed back and said, look, you know, you're asking us to, you're saying it's a $400 extension, but you're asking states to put in $100 and the federal government would put in $300. Many states are already cash strapped. They don't have the money. The final point real quick is on the payroll tax. He sort of portrayed, hey, I'm going to do a payroll tax cut from September 1st through the end of the year. Again, if you actually read what he did in the memo, he didn't give a cut. He gave a tax, what I'd call holiday or vacation or postponement. So what that means is employees don't have to pay their payroll tax for Social Security for those 4 months, but the bill would still be due in 2021. So it's sort of like a hat trick. You don't have to pay it for a while, but boom, you're going to get that bill in 2021.
When you do, it will all add up and to a lot more because it's been delayed. What is the likelihood that these measures will be challenged?
It seems pretty high. I mean, the basic challenge is constitutional. You know, the power of the purse rests with Congress, and the president has tried to reallocate money, if you're being kind. So he took some money from the hurricane, the disaster relief fund, to try to move it to unemployment. So that's a little bit questionable, you know, but he's also trying, some people would argue that power should only be with Congress. The bigger issue, though, I think about where these could be challenged, and you're already seeing pushback, including from Republican governors, is this question of, is it even feasible? You know, it makes it sound like, oh, we're just extending this unemployment money. Actually, on the back end, what's happening is this program that President Trump would put in place is entirely different from the one that was in place for the last several months under the CARES Act. And so, you know, it sounds very bureaucratic if you're on the, you know, obviously everyone just wants to get money to people who desperately need it right now. But a lot of states are saying, look, the reality is it would take us weeks to put this together.
So this extension would be new federal spending, something distinctly different than what the previous $600 program was.
You said it better than me. It is distinctly different. However, it is not, the new money is a little bit, it gets hazy. So again, this money was allocated by Congress for the FEMA disaster relief. So for hurricanes and tornadoes and bushfires and that sort of thing, President Trump is arguing, hey, we're in the middle of a pandemic. That's a pretty big disaster. Can I just take some of that money that would have gone to hurricane relief and move it over here and put it for unemployment benefits? Unfortunately, he's only allotting $44 billion. That might sound like a lot. Sure sounds like a lot to me, but that would probably be gone in about a month. So again, not a lot of money that's moving around.
Talking with Heather Long, she is an economic correspondent for The Washington Post. We're looking at the economic issues amid the pandemic. Taking your questions as well at 800-642-1234. Heather, you reported recently that unless Congress passes another stimulus bill soon, that the damage to the economy could be permanent. What do you mean by this?
Yeah, you sort of think, oh, well, it doesn't really matter if they act now or maybe after the election. But I spend a lot of my day calling and talking to unemployed folks and especially talking to small business owners. And what I hear a lot from small business owners is obviously huge blow to them in the spring. You know, they basically had no money coming in. Think about hair salons or restaurants or your favorite corner store. And, you know, they sort of, you know, barely eked by in that period. They reopened in June. And what we've seen in the economy is sort of a flatlining in July. So I hear from a lot of people, you know, I'm still down 50%. So I was on the phone with a hotel, small boutique hotel in Key West, Florida. And she said, you know, we're 55% back. I'm basically some weeks I break even, some weeks I don't. And what this means is the longer that people limp along like this, the more likely those businesses are to shut forever and just throw their hands up and say, I can't do this. I'm barely breaking even. I don't want to go into debt again. And I'm just going to shut. You know, I'm going to die.
Well, last month, the country added 1.8 million jobs, the third month of gains in the number of jobs. Why are economists still so concerned about about what's going on?
Well, part of it is, you know, those small businesses close, those jobs go away. I think, too, you know, you're right. It was pretty encouraging to see, and that makes a huge difference for those 1.8 million people who did get a job back and for their families. But the other way, and unfortunately, the glass half empty side of this is about 60% of the jobs that were lost in April and March are not back yet. So the good news is we've recovered 42%. The bad news is 58% of them are not back. And what we're seeing is a slowing in the job growth. So we saw a ton of job growth in May and June, but that pace has slowed down. So the June pace was about double the July pace. So, you know, we would have to keep going at the July pace every month for the next several months in order to get all those jobs back. That looks more and more unrealistic. If you just look at, you know, any sort of data tracker, whether it's how much gas people are getting buying at the pump right now or how many restaurant reservations people are making again. All of that indicates the economy is stalling.
We have the Washington Post economics correspondent Heather Long as our guide to the economy. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the state of the economy? Are you unemployed? Are you cutting back on spending? How have you managed to adjust in these difficult times? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Heather Long here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we check in on economic policies and the strength of the dollar. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, Jamie Dimon, told NBC News in an interview that aired yesterday that there's going to be some scar tissue from this recession. But
we're going to have to open up. It could be done safely and soundly. You've seen it being done in countries around the world. You know, we've made a few mistakes in certain parts of this country, but opening up will be okay. You can go back to work safe and sound, and so that hopefully the economy will have a chance to recover.
What worries you about the economy reopening? We're at 800-642-1234. We have the Washington Post's Heather Long, who covers the economy. She stays with us. Heather, we heard there from Jamie Dimon, and the sentiment seemed to indicate that, you know, everything's going to be okay. There will be some pain, but, you know, the world's most powerful companies have things under control. What do you make of that?
Well, it's interesting. He had made also a comment to CNN. You played an NBC clip where he was sounding a lot more pessimistic, particularly about the fate of small businesses. So I think, you know, look, the main thing is the economy has recovered a little bit. Like we were talking about, 40% of those jobs are back. You know, most places have been able to reopen. But the reality is you still have, just look at most of the restaurants and bars in your area, possibly some small retailers, you know, go and talk to those folks. The message that I overwhelmingly hear is I'm open, but I'm certainly not back. I'm far from normal. And that's, you know, that's the gray area that we're all trying to navigate. And that's what you can see in the economic data. We're not fully back yet. You know, is this going to take us a year to recover, or is this going to take us 5 years to recover?
Let's bring in Dave now, who's joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Dave.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to know if President Trump is so concerned about the unemployed and doing something about it, couldn't he just reallocate some of his money for the wall and help fund that unemployment benefits?
So moving money away from building the wall and moving that money around. Heather?
Well, he's basically tried to do the same thing that he did for the wall, which is to reallocate money. It's just this time, instead of taking it from the same place that he used to go for the wall funding, this time he's gone and raided the fund for hurricanes and tornadoes, the disaster relief fund. It's interesting you bring up the wall. You know, the wall funding is less. Right now he's taking $44 billion to try to move that for unemployment benefits. That should last about a month of payments. For the wall, initially he only took, I believe, around $2 billion. So it is a much bigger scale here that we're talking about. We do have 30 million people in this country who are currently receiving unemployment benefits.
Let's bring in David now, joining us from Boscobel this morning. Hi, David.
Hi. I have a comment and then a question for your guest. I mean, the guest is lamenting that these small businesses aren't back. They're going to go under. And it seems to be laid at the foot of the federal government or the president. And my question is, you know, a lot of governors in various states have put restrictions on how many people can be in a restaurant at a time, how many people can be in a store. And, you know, how are these businesses going to get back if these states continue to keep these restrictions on these small businesses? And how is the federal government responsible for that and supposed to deal with that?
David, thanks. Heather?
Yeah, it's a great point. I certainly hear that a lot. I think overwhelmingly what I hear from small business owners is they just want clear rules. So for instance, I'm not as familiar with Wisconsin, but like in Kentucky, when the bars first opened and restaurants, they were allowed to open at 50%. Then that was scaled back to 25. And so I think, you know, every governor's trying to navigate the situation in their state. My home state of Pennsylvania has like a whole checkerboard. You know, some parts of the state are open more than others. And so what I just hear from small business is just tell me what the rules are and then I can adjust. And I think there's a feeling both that the state and the federal government have not provided clear enough guidelines. In terms of what the federal government can do, The federal government has a lot more, has the power to borrow money and allocate it across the country. So the federal government can play the role of putting money out into the economy in a way that state and local governments can't. And what you're hearing right now from a lot of both small and big business leaders, like Jamie Dimon, who was played earlier, the clip from him, is this, why aren't we doing another round of aid for small businesses? And I think that's really a big role the federal government can play that other governments can't.
We're talking with Heather Long, is an economics correspondent for The Washington Post. You can join in. What concerns you about the economy? What do you want to know about the latest economic indicators? It's 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Russ now, joining us from Pleasant Springs. Hi, Russ.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to ask the guest, I haven't heard it mentioned in the president's new stimulus package. Are there going to be additional $1,200 payouts per person in the country?
Yeah, great, great question. So good news and bad news on that front. The good news is that is one of the few areas that Republicans and Democrats in Congress do agree on. So they've come in these talks they've been having that both sides would like to do another round of those checks, which would probably go out, let's say, September, October. The bad news is they haven't reached an agreement on everything else on a number of other fronts. So there is no deal right now. So those checks are not coming until they actually pass it. President Trump cannot do another round of stimulus checks on his own. That does need to come from Congress.
Russ, thanks for the question. Heather, I want to ask you about the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, Neil Kashkari. He turned heads recently when he said the answer would be to mandated lockdowns in every state for up to 6 weeks in an effort to allow public health to work. And he feels like he said we threw the towel in too early before health officials had actually gotten control of the virus. What do you think? And now here, you know, across the border in Wisconsin, I don't know if Neil Kashkari's idea of another lockdown would go anywhere. But what do you make of that?
Well, I think a lot of people looked at his comments and thought he's speaking about the failure at both the state and the federal level in the United States to do that in the spring. You know, we all thought that that's what we were doing. I certainly did. My husband and I, when we were staying home for most of March and April and a good bit of May, I think everybody thought that was what we were doing. We were giving hospitals the time to flatten the curve, giving public health officials and governors and the president time to sort this out and come up with a plan. Unfortunately, it's evident the United States didn't come up with as good of a plan as most other advanced nations across the world. You know, you look at Germany or Japan, these countries are able to reopen their schools. They're able to have business more mostly back to normal, and the United States still is not. So I don't know. It's so controversial to close down again. Again, as I call around to small business owners, the number one thing they say to me is, I wish the rules were clearer. I wish the guidelines were clear. And the number two thing they say is, I just hope and pray we don't shut down again. So I hear that. I hear that tension. I think what I've, the best, a hair salon owner said this to me this week. She said, you know, if you told me we were going to do one more shutdown for 2 or 3 weeks and it was going to solve most of the problems, I would do it. It would be hard, but I would do it. But if I cannot go through another open-ended, you know, it could be 2 months, it could be 3 months. And so that's where I respect Neil Kashkari, you know, saying, what if we just shut down again for a few weeks? The big fear is a few weeks enough?
Yeah. Let's bring in Jim now in Dubuque. Jim, hi.
Hi, just sort of a remark, I guess. I think we're facing a global monetary collapse. There's unprecedented debt at virtually all levels. If a debt can't be paid back, it won't be paid back. And I think much of what we're seeing with this hysteria over this flu epidemic is a distraction, and we're facing much worse things in the relatively near future than anything we've experienced.
Jim, thanks. Heather, are we headed toward a major economic collapse due to the debt we're getting ourselves into?
I'm not normally a pessimist, but the caller makes a very good point. You know, at the moment, not just the United States, but across the world, countries are taking on vast amounts of debt. The United States is a good example. We're about in the coming years will be more debt as a percentage of our economy than we had even during World War II. So this is pretty alarming. Also, companies are taking on more debt. So both small businesses are trying to stay afloat. Large companies are taking on historic amounts of debt. It was already high and alarming before the pandemic. Now it's gotten worse. And you're right. You put all this together and it's a scary picture, because at some point those bills do come due. And while a lot of people are getting a grace period in the middle of a pandemic, that, you know, what about 5 years, 10 years down the road? And so I agree. And that's the big danger of what's happening now. Nobody quite knows where it's all going to end up.
Heather, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Heather Long is an economic correspondent for The Washington Post. Coming up, we talk with WPR's Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson about the results of yesterday's primary election. And that recap is coming after this news update here on the Ideas Network.